Praise the Lord. Does anything ever get wrong with me, remind me to come to the Living Savior Church and get prayed for. Praise the Lord. I like to be prayed for by people that believe. Believing believers. Wow.
Praise the Lord.
I believe. Don't you, Scott?
I do. Praise the Lord.
Amen. I believe Jesus Christ is my healer. He's my Savior. And I will have to say, if there's anybody in here today that does not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to not go another step before you say, Lord, I want you as my Savior and my healer and my deliverer. If you miss everything but the Savior part, well, if there's anything you don't want to do, you don't want to die without knowing Jesus. Can you imagine? No, you can't. You cannot imagine. Yeah, I guarantee you cannot imagine what it would be like to take one step in eternity without Jesus Christ. But anyway, Cheryl's got a couple of testimonies about some of the things God will do for us if we are His children and we pray. These are wonderful testimonies. Listen to what she has to say. Most of these are testimonies that happened while we were praying, while we were laying in bed or whatever. But anyway, from emails, right, honey?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dear Pastor Thurman, in recent days I was reading in the last chapter of Luke, which tells about Jesus after he was resurrected. In Luke 24:47 is one of the last things that the book of Luke records Jesus as saying, quote, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." I reflected on how, in my experience, that is not really what has been preached and taught here and there. But you are different. And that which Jesus said in this verse, which should be preached, is exactly what you preach. This is simple, yet profound to me. I am so grateful to have been led to you. Gratefully, Aaliyah.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, praise the Lord. Okay, we truly enjoyed being with you on September 8th in your healing school. We learned so much. Pastor Thurman, you are one of the most humble men that I've ever met in 29 years of ministry. That's why God is using you to do great miracles. Moses was a humble man. There is a woman that just testified at my mother-in-law's church here in Louisville, Kentucky, that she could not speak for 4 months. And she came and saw you and Mrs. Cheryl. You all laid hands on her, and Jesus healed her. And she, amen. And she is now speaking for the glory of God. My mother-in-law told her that I just spent some time with you all in September. This lady was a Muslim. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Wow, Muslim. Jesus even heals Muslims. He loves us all. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for healing that Muslim lady.
Amen.
Wow.
This lady says, and I have a praise report for you. Thank the Lord. I wrote to you on my son's computer concerning $6,000 that was stolen from us. Well, praise God. While sitting here, I also checked on my credit card, and they ruled for the second time in my favor. So we got our money back. Thank you, and dear Cheryl, God always answers. May God continue to bless you and Cheryl as you continue to minister to others. And I'm keeping you both in my prayers. You are wonderful, kind, God-fearing people. I don't feel like I'm the only one believing like I do. Blessings, Anne Marie.
Praise the Lord. Absolutely. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. This is a picture of Caleb. You can pass it around and everybody pray for Caleb. Okay. This is a prayer and testimony. I wanted to ask for prayer for our son, Caleb. Our daughter, Jeanette Anderson's daughter-in-law, invited us to go with them to your church about a year ago. We were having trouble with Caleb. After the service, he's 12, and he just turned 13. After the service, we went down, and Pastor Thurman and Cheryl prayed over Caleb that generational curses to be broken off of him. He is adopted. Side note, my daughter asked if I got prayer. I told her no. She was quite upset with me, as I had many medical issues, stomach issues, thyroid, etc. I was on about 20 pills a day. I told her I didn't need to get prayer if I believed what Pastor said. A couple of days, and I believe I hear God say, I don't need the pills. Done. No more pills. I did keep my next thyroid appointment about 6 months later. I have paperwork saying that my thyroid is perfect. Praise God. Yes, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I later learned that my husband had to pray for me, so I backed that up with his prayers as well. But I digress. Things got better with Caleb. He loved listening to Pastor. He would even ask to listen to him. Praise God. I just want to add that Caleb knows the Bible. He's read it through many times. Shortly after that, he turned 13. Things started going downhill. We came to healing school, and after we had Pastor Dave pray and talk with Caleb, I had to that point been taking authority over anything coming against Caleb, but it didn't seem to be working anymore. I asked Pastor Dave if the fact that he was fully 12 meant that only he had the authority, meaning he had to want it. We didn't know it at the time, but he had started a new school, and within 2 months, he was permanently expelled. I believe that God assisted in the expulsion. That is where the enemy found his way in, I know now. Caleb isn't a bad kid. He is just very impulsive, making very poor choices. Then you had to add puberty, and things just got worse. He had 2 counselors every week. We made it to summer. Things were more than we could handle. He did a summer program to help excel. It did not help enough. God and us refused to just hand him over to the enemy. So we started looking at Teens Challenge. A friend that works at one for men Teen Challenge recommended Gateway in Florida, where it's a younger Teen Challenge. We go to Gateway Church, I assume locally. While it had everything we were looking for, it was in Florida. The ones in Texas did not work out for one reason or another, but Gateway in Florida was $60,000. We don't have that kind of money. So we decided that if we don't send Caleb, there was a very good chance we would lose him to drugs if we let him start school. Our choice was we keep him home going down the same road where all of us are miserable and his future bleak, or send him and he hate us but has a Jeremiah 29:11-13 future. We did have a rent house that our older son and family lived in for many years. He had hoped that it was his inheritance and never planned to move. And then he said that they were going to move. What? If you haven't seen God in this story yet, get ready. The realtor put it on the market at 12:01 midnight. At 10 a.m. the next morning, I got a text saying there was a showing at 2 p.m. By 5 p.m. that same day, we were signing papers for the full price. We started talking with Gateway. They said that if we wanted to get him in, he had to be there by August 28th, Tuesday. About this same time, the realtor told us that we would be signing, and oh, by the way, it will fund that same day. Oh, and the day of signing was Monday, August 27th. We had enough time to go to the bank to get cashier's checks for Gateway and get on the plane, and we dropped him off Tuesday morning, all God. God loves this boy so much. So he's been at Gateway Teen Challenge in Florida for 4 weeks. Feels like a lifetime. He started out doing good, but now he's at the point of going backwards, testing things, I guess. Please pray that God gets a hold, gets through, and all over him, inside and out. Thank you for your ministry. Through your ministry, I've learned so much about God's Word and seeing my own miracles. Our prayers are with you that God gives you many more years. You sound so much better, Pastor. God gave me Jeremiah 29:11-13 when we got Caleb 11 years ago. We stand on that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Have a blessed day, Charlene.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, we're done?
We're done.
Okay, let me have the mic. Cliff's got a testimony. Clifford, come over and tell us what your testimony is. Praise the Lord. Yeah, he said, I got a testimony if you got time for it. I always have time for testimonies. Don't you?
Amen.
We love to hear it. Hold that up close for everybody to hear what your testimony is, Clifford.
Okay, I hope this thing agrees with me today. I have a little trouble with it. Like this? Okay.
There you go.
Is that good? All right, all right. Thank you. About a year or so ago, I gave a testimony about having a acid reflux problem, I guess it was, acid reflux. I've been going here about 3 years, and I want to give this little testimony this morning about how that came about. In 98, I went to work for a company over here at Las Colinas, and I got hauled into I was having some chest pains one morning. I'd been having them for a while, and the people there said, oh, you're having a heart attack. Well, I wasn't about to say that, have that kind of confession. So they decided to call the fire department out there. I told them not to, but they did anyway. I called them back and said, don't come. They said, we're on our way. We're coming. So they get there, and they want to haul me off to the hospital. I said, no, I'm not going. They said, yeah, you're going. We're here. You're going. So I said, I know this is going to cause me problems somewhere along the way. And about 2 weeks later, I got a bill for $1,000 for an ambulance ride. And that was a pretty good problem. But I still never confessed that I was having a heart attack or having any kind of heart problems. But this went on for about pushing about 15, 18 years that I would be waked up in the middle of the night. And I would be hurting so badly that I was really thought I was dying. The devil had jumped on me. I told, we'd been going here about 3 weeks to this church, in case I'm telling this, because there's a lot of people here this morning that have never heard this before. But I had really grown in my faith in about 3 weeks, because I'd learned more in 3 weeks coming here than I'd ever learned in my life reading the Bible and going to other churches. So I was really hurting. It woke me up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. It just, I'd think I was dying. I told Candace, I said, you need to pay close attention to me tonight, because I might have to go to the emergency room. She asked me why, and I told her. But sure enough, about 2 or 3 in the morning, it woke me up. And I just got up and went and sat down in a chair, and I had been reading the promises of God and listening to Thurman. And I just sat down in the chair, and I put my hand on my heart and raised my other hand, and I said, Lord, you told me in your word that if your word remained in me and I remained in you, I could ask you for whatever I wanted to, and you'd do it. And I had never seen a miracle in my life. And I just said, I am hurting here, and I'm asking you to take this pain away from me. And while I had my hand on my heart, the pain left me. And it never has returned again, ever, ever, ever. So I gave a testimony about gossiping about a friend, and I was backing up in my driveway, and the Lord had warned me 3 or 4 times to stop talking about this particular person. And I was backing up in my driveway, and I have a big 3,500-pound enclosed car trailer there, and I knew that trailer was back there, and I just kept on going and backed into it and about totaled my car. And the Lord spoke to me in a little while. It wasn't right then, but he spoke to me, and he said, this is what you get for talking about so-and-so. And so I went and apologized. I asked the guy forgiveness for talking about him, and he thought he was kind of funny. Next week or so, he heard me telling some story about him somewhere. He said, I thought the Lord had told you not to talk about me, and I apologized again. I asked him to forgive me again. And last week, 2 weeks ago, I guess, it was last Sunday, I was at a restaurant about to go in to eat, and the phone rang, and it was his son, this man's son. And he and I were talking about this fellow. He's not a Christian. I have no business judging him or giving him correction about anything. He does not belong to God. But we were talking about him to his son, and I got out of the car. I hung up the phone. I said, well, I'm going to go eat. I go in this restaurant and ate, and I wasn't sitting there 5 minutes. I bit a hunk out of my tongue, and I was so much in pain that I was nearly crying, but I didn't stop eating. And I went. But I went ahead and had breakfast and came home and came to church that day. And Michael and Gracie prayed for me. My friend Amber called them over and they prayed for me. I probably wouldn't even ask them to. But one of the first things out of Michael's mouth was something that I had said. Lord, forgive me for something I had said about somebody. And it dawned on me right then that I had been talking about this man again. And that's what came of that. So be careful what you say. I have a whole gang of shirts of one kind or another, T-shirts and stuff. And one of the T-shirts I've got, if I wear a T-shirt with motorcycles on it, some guy comes up and says, oh, you have a motorcycle? I had a Harley-Davidson. Here's one right here. Has a Harley-Davidson. Had one. Or if I wear one with a hot rod cars on it, somebody always comes up and says, oh, I had one like this and that. And on and on and on. I have one shirt that says, if a man speaks in the forest and there's not a woman there to hear him, is he still wrong? and I, on several occasions, I've had women come up and say, yes, he is. And I about quit wearing that because I'm scared one of these liberated man-haters may come up and go upside my head. So, but anyway, as you can see, I've got a shirt on today that says, miracles happen. I got this from Joan Hunter Ministries a year or so ago. And I thought I had lost it, but I've put it on this morning, wore it. And it's amazing what you wear and what you say reflects who you are in Christ. And I was in Whataburger this morning, where I am quite often, and although I have lost about 8 pounds this week from not being able to eat. but because I bit my tongue. But anyway, I was sitting there, and this man came in. It was a young man about my age, and he looked over and smiled at me and went and got his breakfast and was leaving. He came over, and he said, "I noticed your shirt that said miracles happen." And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I want to tell you about my miracle." He said, "About 4 months ago, I was diagnosed with terminal cancer, stage 4 cancer. And all my organs in my body." And he said, "That's 4 months ago." And he said, "About 2 weeks ago, I was at a doctor's office having some tests run. And I got a phone call from, another part of the hospital. And said, called out his name and said, there is not one bit of cancer in your body at all."
Amen.
And I said, "Well, praise the Lord." He said, "Well, it's better than I deserve." But it's not better than we deserve. When we put our trust in God, He will answer our prayers every time if we are doing what we're supposed to be doing. And so I am very grateful. I'm gonna start wearing this shirt more often, because there are people out there with miracles, and they don't know that you're interested in hearing them unless you put your faith out there and people recognize that you are a believer.
Amen.
So I want to do that. And the song that we sang a while ago, there's just something about that name. There is indeed. It just makes me cry when I hear the name of Jesus. And I am just so grateful for this church and all that it means to us and all it means to everybody sitting here. I love you all. Love this church. We love this pastor. He's one of the greatest men I've ever met and an absolute pure gentleman. Thank you all. Appreciate it.
Praise the Lord. Love you, brother. Wow. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Jesus is the one that makes us like we are.
Amen.
All we got to do is say, "Here I am, Lord. Use me for your glory."
Amen.
And He will do it. Wow. Wow, isn't that something? Well, we had a good time at Baltimore this week. We prayed for a lot of people. Talked to a few people and seen God do some wonderful things. We had, I knew this woman was going to get healed when she said, I'm from Florida. And she said, I had this problem.
Bone cancer.
Yeah, bone cancer.
In her waist.
And anyway, she had this bone cancer. And she's praying, "Dear God, I've got to have somebody that knows something about healing to get me healed." She said, "I had never heard of Thurman Scribner or his ministry." She said, "I opened my computer, my iPad. I opened it up. And there on the front page was a YouTube with Thurman Scribner and healing." Who can do that?
Only God.
Only God. So she goes and gets on an airplane and flies from Florida to Baltimore and comes to the meeting so she can get healed. Did it take much faith in my part? No, I know. I mean, I've already seen. God has already put a woman, He's answered her prayer and put her in the right place and put her in Baltimore. And nobody in this family had ever heard of Thurman Scrivener or the Living Savior Ministry. But when she prayed, "Lord, I need somebody that knows something about healing to get me healed," and opened the book, and bam, there we are.
Amen.
Boy, I mean, you know what He's going to do, don't you?
Amen.
If He went that far, you know He sent that woman to be healed, and you know He sent her to the right one to heal her.
Amen.
That's just like this lady over here at this Baptist church here in the local area. She was praying that she had a son that had a problem. And so anyway, they prayed and they prayed and they prayed, and nothing happened. So finally she decided to go up to the pastor and tell the pastor, "Look, you know, we need to pray for my son. He has this problem." I forget now what the problem was. I think it was stuttering. He stuttered real bad. Anyway, the pastor just said, "Well, you know, I'm not sure I believe that God does miracles anymore." Isn't that a shame? So anyway, she went and said, "Okay, Lord, if my pastor cannot have enough faith to pray for my son, is there a man anywhere that I could find, that I could go get or whatever, that would pray the prayer of faith for my son and he would get healed? Lord, who would that man be?" And she said, the Lord spoke to me audibly and said, go over to the Living Savior Church and find Thurman Scribner. He can pray the prayer of faith.
Wow.
I never heard of you. Never heard of you. So she came over here. I never seen her before in my life. She just called and said, can I come over? And so they did. And the husband and her and the little boy. And I prayed the prayer of faith over them. And next week, a week later, they came back and the little boy was talking perfect.
Jesus.
What can God do? He's looking for a man that believes, didn't he, Bill? He's looking for a man that believes his word. So I just stand in awe that God is looking for someone to believe his word, to believe. And I think what a shame it is that we have this awesome book with these awesome promises by the hundreds, even thousands. And we read those and we won't believe. If you believe. I mean, I remembered after Bill got his cancer healed up here and he came up and gave his testimony. And does anybody remember the last few line or the last line that came out of his mouth when he told you about what God would do? What did Bill say? I guarantee his word works. Why does he guarantee his word works? Because the week before he had cancer on his back and we prayed, got all the men to come up here. We anointed him with oil. We prayed the prayer of faith for him, laid hands on him and everything, just like y'all did me a while ago. We had everybody come by and just touch him. You didn't have to do anything except just touch him. Did Jesus make promises that these signs will follow those that believe? If you just touch somebody, I'll heal them. He does do that. And so that's what we did for Bill, and God healed him. All he had to do is believe, and he did, and he's been healed. And that was cancer. Isn't it amazing that we got a book and a God that wants to answer our prayer, and we won't believe? When I think about Clifford with his testimony about the heart, I know another man that had a problem similar to that. He used to go to this church till he moved out of the state, but he was used to be here all the time. But one day he got a real tough pain in his chest, kind of like Clifford did. He said, I sat down there and I thought, Lord, I think he was about 75 years old at that time. He said, Lord, this is a test. I know this pain in my chest. But I want you to know that I'm in no fear, absolutely no fear whatsoever.
Hallelujah.
He said, I know your word. I trust your word. If this is just a test, then Lord, I'm going to stand the test. I'm going to pass it. And I know you're going to cause this spirit to leave me. And then you're going to use me for your glory. If you're through with me, then I submit myself to you and to your authority. And if it's time for me to come home, bring me home. But if it's not time for me to bring me home, then heal me so I can take away this pain so I can go be about your business. Lord, thank you. It's your choice. And he said instantly, just like that.
Wow.
The pain was gone. And that's been a couple of years ago. Last time I talked to that man, he's still just going strong.
Praise God.
You know, do we all go through those trials and tests?
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't get into a panic. Whenever the trial or the test come, they're going to come. You're going to get them. I'm going to get them. I'm here to tell you that you're going to go through trials and tests. So don't sweat it. It's just part of God's plan. Pass his test. You know, stay strong in the word. You know, don't even try to not believe his word. I mean, just think. Jesus clearly said, I came to die for the sins of the whole world. Now, to anybody, so I guess we don't think that means what it says. To anybody that will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Is that what he said?
Yes.
Did he make it hard where you had to go do something? Like that king, I forget what his name was that time, that had what was that disease all over your skin?
Leprosy.
Leprosy, yeah. He had leprosy. And he said, there's a prophet that said there's a man in a certain city, a prophet of God, that he can pray for you and you'll get healed. So he said, let's go up there and see. So they went up there and the prophet sent out his little servant. He didn't even come out himself. And that kind of made the king upset because he thought there should have been some fanfare here, you know. But that, you know, he said, tell the man to go down to the river, Jordan, and dip 7 times and he'll be healed. Come out and he says, what? Go down to that old nasty Jordan River? I could have went to one of the clean rivers in where we live and dipped, and then you not have to get in this old nasty water, but this water is dirty. I ain't going to go down there and dip. And this little servant again, this other servant says, you know, if he had asked you to go out and conquer something, you'd have done it. But he asked you just to do something so simple. All you need to do is walk in the Jordan River. Six times. See, that's like I told you. I've dipped 6 times and still ain't got no... I mean, it ain't working. He said, sir, he said 7 times. You don't think one more dip's going to make no difference? Did God tell him to dip 7 times?
Yes,
he
did.
So he goes back out there and says, I can just see that king now saying, okay, God, this is the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life. And I can't even see you, and all I can see is this prophet's little guy. But okay, I'm going to be stupid and look stupid in your sight, and everybody decides, okay, I'm going to dip one more time. And he goes down in the water, and when he comes up, what did he look like?
He was totally clean.
He was just like Jenna.
Yep.
When he went down in the water, when you obey God, if God had told him to do it 3 times, 5 times, 20 times, does it make any difference what he tells you to do? Just do what he says. Is that true?
Amen.
Obey the king and do what he says. And if you'll obey the king and do what he says, I guarantee he'll do what he said, just like when that woman come over and said, you know, my pastor does not have the faith to pray over my son or he can quit stuttering. But I prayed and asked the Lord, is there a man anywhere in the area that we can go to that has faith to pray? And she said, I never heard of your name. I never heard of your ministry. But she said, the Lord says, go to the Living Savior Church and Pastor Thurman Scrivener will be able to pray the prayer of faith and I will heal your son.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
And so she didn't ask who I was or nothing. She just looked me up, and her and her husband and little boy, they came, they called and wanted to know if they could come out. And she told me what happened. I said, sure, I know I'm going to get to see a miracle. Amen. I mean, if God spoke to her and told her to do something, it's just exactly like I was. 1986, Southern Baptist deacon, Sunday school teacher in a Southern Baptist church. Never seen a supernatural miracle in my life, not of any significance. Walked up to a hospital room. A man had been diagnosed with terminal cancer and 42 years old. All of his body had been, he's got terminal cancer and there is absolutely no hope. And whenever I asked his wife what the problem was and she told me that was the problem, I heard a voice just as clear as a bell. Son, tell Ed to call the men of the church to pray over him, and I will heal him. Now, you're a Southern Baptist deacon, a Sunday school teacher, and you ain't never seen a healing miracle, and you got a man that's 42 years old with terminal cancer, and he just heard a word from God what to do. What are you going to do?
Do what he says.
What are you going to do? I'm going to tell you, it's a shame the number of men that don't do what God tells them to do. They say, I just can't believe that. But if God speaks to you and tells you to do something, I'd say do it, wouldn't you?
Amen.
If you have never seen a miracle like I'd never seen an awesome miracle, I did. When I went home that night, I will have to say I had a lot of doubt. If you've been raised in a church that never teaches you these principles and you've never seen a miracle, who am I to think that God is going to use me for his glory? I have a problem with that. Everybody has a problem with that. But anyway, when I prayed for her and I turned to walk off, I'm walking down that corridor in that hospital. I'll never forget Louisville Hospital. And I look up in that hospital. I said, "Lord, you didn't hear what she said." I mean, you're talking about unbelief. I got it. I'm first class unbelief. But you know, don't laugh at me because you've been there too. Every one of us, you know. So, Lord, you didn't hear what she said. He has terminal cancer. I can just see the master smile and saying, "Son, I've got you on a course. I'm going to train you to be one of my sons of faith."
Glory to God.
This is, I choose you. You don't choose me. I choose you. And I'm going to use you for my glory. I'm going to send you out. I can just hear him now saying, "I'm going to build your faith. I've got some things and plans in order for you. And you're going to see me do such great and mighty things. You're going to be amazed. And you're going to see things happen like you've never seen in your life."
Wow.
And he was saying all that. I wasn't hearing that. But I knew. And whenever he told me, the part I did hear, so when I went home that night, I looked up for the first time in my life to see where the scripture says healing. I had never looked up anything on healing in my life, but this night I did. And when I came to this scripture, James 5, 14, 15, and 16, when I came to that magnificent promise, I looked at that and I thought, "Wow, Lord, that's almost everything I heard you say down at that hospital." In other words, when you hear a voice that says, "Son, tell Ed to call the men of the church to pray over him and I will heal him." And then you find a scripture that says, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders and let them pray over him and anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick." Those things are pretty close together, aren't they? So anyway, whenever I heard that, for a second there, my faith just shot up. I thought, "Wow." And then I hear this little voice. "Oh, that really wasn't God. That was just in your subconscious. You've read that verse before, but you know that's not true." Now, who does that sound like? Do you think I'm being put to the test? Oh, yeah, I'm being put to the test. So anyway, I literally think I'm losing my mind. I mean, I'm hearing voices, and you know, when people say when you're hearing voices, you got a problem. Well, that may be true and it may not be true. But anyway, I was having a moment. So anyway, I thought, it was Wednesday night. I remember these things in such detail. Wednesday night, I went to bed, and I had all kinds of tossing and turning till the next, every night I tossed and turned and couldn't sleep until Sunday morning, next Sunday morning. I woke up and I told my wife, I said, "You may think I'm crazy, but I have got to tell you what I've been going through in the last few days." She says, "What are you going through?" I said, "I'm hearing voices. And the voices are telling me to go tell Ed Brock to call the men of the church to pray over him and he will heal him." She said, "You mean you heard a voice that says, go tell Ed to call the men of the church together and God will heal him?" I said, "Yes, that's what I've been hearing." She said, "Well, my goodness, if you're hearing that, let's go do it." I thought, praise God for women.
Yeah, amen.
You know, praise God for a wife that believes more than I do. I heard the voice. She didn't hear him. She's ready to go. Isn't that amazing? We are so dense. Me especially. Maybe not you, but me. So anyway, that was Sunday. After church Sunday, we went over to Ed's at Ruthie's house. I told Ed when I walked in, I said, "Ed, heard you come home from the hospital today, and I heard they sent you home to die. He said, that's true. They said, there's no cure. I have stage 4 lymphoma, and there's no cure. I said, well, Ed, let me give you, I have a word from the Lord. So we turned over to the Bible, to James 5:14. And I said, I want to read this to you. And I read this to him, and after he read it, he got his own Bible out, and he said, let me see that. So he read it 3 or 4 times. He said, you know, Thurman, that can't be true. I said, well, what do you mean it can't be true? He said, I'm 42 years old. I've been in the Baptist church all of my life, and I've been a good goer. I've been in every Sunday school class, every church service. I've heard the pastor preach every Sunday morning, noon, and night. He said, if something that powerful really did work, somebody would tell us that this is real. Does that make sense? But he said, since I've never heard it, I don't believe that's real. I said, but Ed, it's in God's Word. But he said, well, there's got to be something that means maybe it used to work when the apostles were here, but it don't work anymore. I said, Ed, what if I told you that just last Wednesday night, God spoke to me audibly and told me to tell you to do this? He said, you're trying to tell me now that God spoke to you audibly and you heard a voice and he told you to do this for me? I said, yes. He said, you must really think I'm crazy. He said, I don't believe that at all. In other words, if you've been a little flaky anyway, you know, when it comes to the things you do at the church, and you're not just a normal Sunday churchgoer, but you do a few things extra, and you just, you know, you'll do anything for Jesus. It looks like you love Jesus more than everybody else. And that may be true. You may have a love for him that other people don't have. But anyway, nobody would believe me. So I told Ed, I said, well, Ed, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave this word with you. Read this scripture. I said, scripture says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. So I said, I want you to read that out loud. I don't want you to read it silently. I want you to read that scripture out loud. I said, and I want you to read it over and over and over and over until faith comes. I said, if you read James 5:14, 15, and 16 out loud, over and over, eventually you're going to believe it. Amen. Do you know if you read even a lie enough that you'll finally get to where you believe it?
Yeah.
So anyway, I told him to read it. And so anyway, he said, okay, he would do that. So anyway, he started reading and started believing and trying to believe. And on a Monday night, I walked in the door to my house and my phone rang, and it was Ed. He said, Thurman, I've been reading that verse over and over and over, and said, it does say that God will heal me. And he said, I'm only 42. I really don't want to die at 42. So he said, I'm too weak to call anybody but you. If you'll call some of the other men and have them meet us down at Lakeland Baptist Church at the youth center, he said, we will pray over my situation. So I said, okay, I'll see you there in an hour. So I picked up the phone and started calling all the deacons and Sunday school teachers. I first called the pastor of the Baptist church, and he was out of town. Then I called the church administrator, and he was out of town. So there ain't nobody there with no power. Everybody that looks like they got any kind of authority in the church, they're somewhere else. So this, God is going to do this right. He's going to prove to his boys that it's just a bunch of old deacons and Sunday school teachers. He can do anything beyond your wildest dream, just like he said. So anyway, I started calling them in, and I told every man that I called, I said, now we're going to pray over Ed Brock for healing tonight. I know that we've never done this before in this church. But I said, there's a scripture in James 5, 14, 15, 16, and I want you to read that verse a couple of times and then come to the chapel. We're going to pray for Ed's healing, and we're going to believe God's going to heal him in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
And out of the six or seven or eight men that I called, and I told them, I said, you know another man that, just like Mike said, well, go, a spirit-filled, on-fire man that will believe this, have him come. And so I told Ed to do this with other people. I told these teachers, Sunday school teachers and deacons, to tell others to come and pray with us. And so in an hour when I got there, there was 28 deacons and Sunday school teachers showed up at Lakeland Baptist Church. 28. We have never prayed for healing at the church. We walk in. Here we're in the chapel. We walk in and Ed comes in. I get there just a little bit before he does. And I'm walking with my bottle in my hand, a sack. I got a sack. It's got a Coke bottle in it, or looks like a Coke bottle. But it's a bottle of anointing oil. Whenever I walked in the church, and he had walked in, he says, Thurman, he says, what do you got in your sack? I said, it's olive oil, anointing oil. He said, you ever done this before? And I says, no. He says, so you're a man that has never done this before. I said, where did you get the olive oil? I said, it's a grocery store. You've never done this before. And you believe that oil from the grocery store is going to heal stage 4 lymphoma terminal cancer. He said, we must all be crazy. That's all God's looking for, a few crazy people.
Right.
I mean, that's why he does things like this. That way you know beyond a shadow of a doubt it's him and not you that did it, right?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Isn't that true? God, he wants everything to be done so that he receives the glory.
Amen.
I mean, when you see 28 deacons and Sunday school teachers come in and to pray over a guy with stage 4 lymphoma terminal cancer that ain't never done this before in their life, and they're going to take a little of this oil. Of course, he said, what are we supposed to do? I said, well, just come over here and sit down in the chapel. Sit down right here. And so the chapel is just about the size of this little church. So we went over there about the middle of the hallway, the aisleway there, and Ed sat down there, and I said, I'm going to anoint you with oil, Ed. And he said, how do you do this? I said, well, they said King David, when they anointed him for king, you know, they just poured it on his head and it just run all down him. So I said, I guess we do it just like they did it. I don't know. I never done this before. So I poured that, I took that bottle of oil, screwed the lid off of it, and I just poured it on his head and it just run down his hair and run down his face and on his cheeks. And of course, I took his shirt in there and I started rolling it around real good, and I mean, we are anointing him. He's going to be greasy as a greased pig here in just a minute, because we've never done this. We got through anointing him with oil. That's the longest prayer meeting I've ever been in my life. It lasted a little over 2 hours. I said, I want every man to pray over Ed Brock, and so they did. They come up and they prayed, and of course, you know, we all knew Ed. He was our buddy. We loved him and everything, and some of the men cried. You know, we pled with God. Some of them got on their knees and prayed. Some of them stood up and prayed. That was a very unique prayer meeting, I will have to say. Nobody knew what they were doing. Not one of us. So if he gets healed, it's got to be God. I mean, we are totally... You can't imagine what we looked like. A bunch of deacons, 28 of us, Sunday school teachers, and we're anointing this boy with oil and praying the prayer of faith over him, pleading with God to heal him, and I can see God over there now sitting there saying, well, I think I've about got you boys' attention. So anyway, he didn't do anything that we could see, you know, but a few weeks later, about 3 weeks later, I was in church. And Ed walked in. I went running back there, and I said, Ed, I said, how are you feeling? He said, Thurman, it's unbelievable. But that cancer that was all over my body is going away. He said, it's going away.
Praise God.
Yeah, and I said, wow. See, I didn't have enough faith to call him or nothing, you know, because I'd never done this before. I did not know that it took faith to get things to work. I didn't know nothing. You know, but God's got to start out with you somewhere, right?
That's right.
I mean, he knows, and that, just like I said, when he took me, an old Sunday school teacher, actually I was a young Sunday school teacher back in those days, but you take a young Sunday school teacher that knows almost nothing about God's Word, and then you go to anoint somebody with oil and pray the prayer of faith, and they got a stage 4 lymphoma and terminal cancer, and then all of a sudden you hear that they're getting well, you think, well, either we just seen a miracle, or this is the greatest coincidence that's ever happened to me in my life, because he started getting well. So anyway, I said, well, what are you going to do? See, I didn't know the scriptures in James 1 about when you pray, you must believe with no doubt in your heart. I didn't know that. So God wasn't holding me accountable for that. I didn't know it. It wasn't there. So anyway, he said, I'm going to go to MD Anderson, and they're going to check me and see what they can do. So he went down to MD Anderson. They told him to give him radiation for 6 months. They gave him a treatment every month. And after 6 of them, they checked him. No cancer, nowhere in his body. It's gone. He's totally healed. But they said the strange thing about this is we had 6 other people with the same cancer you had, and we give them the exact same treatment we give you, Ed, and every one of them died. But you're alive with no cancer, no sickness. Does God have a plan? Yes, he does. He has a plan, and he's doing what he does for his glory. He will do it. But Ed Brock, in 1986, was completely healed of stage 4 terminal cancer in 1986, and this is 2018, I think. 32 years ago? And guess what? The cancer has never come back. Ed Brock is still alive and well today from 1986, but yet he was terminal in 1986, according to the doctors. It was over. But you know, when we get to where we believe what the doctor says every time, that's when you cut yourself out of your miracle.
That's right.
You got to believe what God says and what his word says.
Amen.
If you can find, just like Sharon back there, when she came to me and said that she'd been prayed for over 100 times in her church and had not ever received an answer to prayer. I asked her a question. I said, did you repent of sin? No, I didn't repent of sin. I said, well, Sharon, you need to repent of sin. I said, this sickness has come upon you because of some kind of sin. So I said, you need to repent. I said, okay. She said, well, Thurman, I don't have a problem repenting of sin. So she repents and said, Lord, I'm sorry that I messed up a few times, and I asked you to forgive me and everything. And so I said, okay. I said, then he says he watches over his word to perform his word. I said, what scripture were you using to base your faith on? Scripture? We didn't use scripture. I said, then you see what you got. Nothing. I said, you know, you need to have a verse. I said, Jeremiah 1:12 says he watches over his word to perform his word. So she said, well, I didn't know that. And I said, well, you see, if you don't know it, God still holds you responsible for the word. So I said, that's why it didn't work. So I said, now then, let's just take a scripture. She said, well, there's a really good, cool scripture, Matthew 18:19. I said, if two of us agree about anything, he'll do it. So let's stand on that. I said, well, that'd be a good one. And then I said, now then, we need somebody that can pray the prayer of faith. And that's me. I now know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I can pray the prayer of faith for you. And when I get through with you, Sharon, since you've repented of your sin, we've stood on God's word, I'm going to guarantee you God's going to heal you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And I prayed the prayer of faith for Sharon Jones, and Sharon was healed that day.
Amen.
That's been 12 or 15 years ago. And that girl, to tell you what she has done, every time after she learned this and she got healed and saw how the principles work, Sharon came to every healing class, every Bible study class, every Sunday service. Every time we had a service of any kind, guess who was there?
Sharon.
Why do you think she was there? She wanted to know how this worked. And now then, years later, by knowing how this works and coming to every class and learning how it works, she can get on that telephone with somebody, and I'm telling you what, she gets people healed every week. There's no telling how many people that Sharon Jones has prayed for because God taught her the principles of the kingdom, and she's right there. She's still here and still working for us today.
Amen.
She knows how it works. But, you know, when people say, well, Sharon, I wonder why I can't get healed. She said, you need to spend some time with God in the Word. Well, I don't have time. She said, well, then you don't have time to get healed. You'll just die. See, she's learned what makes everything work. If you want to see God do something for you, you got to spend some time with Him, right?
Amen.
Yeah. But anyway, just think. As we go along there, don't take me a chair. Sit down for a little while. Since I've just started on line one of my outline, we may be here for a little while. So everything works different. Whenever the Lord first started me out, the first thing He done to start me on my process of training was I sat down to study God's Word one night, and I was in Deuteronomy chapter 6. I was going to teach a Bible study class on Deuteronomy chapter 6. When I got to verse 4, I heard a voice. First time in my life I ever heard this voice. Son, pay attention. I have a message for you in the next few verses. Now, what are you going to do with that?
Pay attention.
Yeah, son, pay attention. I have a message for you in the next few verses. Okay, so 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 verses from here where I am, I really need to devour those because He's got some kind of a message for me. And what it was a message to me to tell me to train my family to know God. Well, let me tell you what, that same scripture is in the Bible for you. He don't have to talk to every one of us every time to get us to do something. When He talks to one of us ought to tell everybody else, and everybody else ought to get in there and say, that's a word from God to Thurman. That word is for me also.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 6:4. I have a message for you this week in Deuteronomy 6:4, and I guarantee if you'll read Deuteronomy 6:4 and through about verse 10, if you'll read the next few verses like He said, if you will do what that says, I guarantee that will change your life forever. It will change your life forever. But I did that. And then whenever we got this, the second time the Lord spoke to me, I was down in Houston. He's training me now. 2 years, it's 2 years between speaking. I was down in Houston, and I drove by the corporate headquarters that morning, and I was going to go out to the web to the site where I was working. And I drove by this place and just completely forgot it. A man, if you hadn't figured it out yet, a man cannot think about, he can't multitask. Women can multitask, but a man cannot multitask. If I get to thinking about working on a certain project, then that's where everything goes. And I got a box open over here, I need to work on this. And if I had to change, I got to close this box over here and open a box over here. But that's the way. But to multitask, to have both boxes open at the same time, impossible. For a man, you can't do that. But girls, they can do that. But men cannot. So anyway, I'm in Houston on 9 o'clock on Monday morning. And 2 years later, after I heard God's voice the first time, and I go out there in the back of the lot. I'm in under a stack of steel. And I'm checking some stuff. And all of a sudden, I hear this voice say, son, you forgot to do your paperwork. I know that's God. I don't get excited now. I heard His voice the first time, and I saw what happened. So now then, I'm expecting it. So it's good to hear that voice. So I said, oh, Lord, you're absolutely right. I was going to go by there and do that, but I forgot it. And I said, Lord, I'd just like 15 minutes under here being through, and then I'll go back over there and do my paperwork. He said, no, son, I want you to go do it right now. He's checking me. He's testing me. He's training me to be an overcomer. I said, well, okay, I don't know what the deal is. So I crawled out from under there. I was laying on my hands and knees down there, and I crawled out underneath that piece of steel. I stood up and took one, two, and the second step, the supporting structure holding that steel exploded, and it come crashing to the ground right where I was sitting 5 seconds before.
Wow.
He's never late. He's always on time.
Amen.
If he had waited 2 seconds, I wouldn't be here today.
Right.
I would have been history. But he had a plan, just like he has one for you.
Amen.
For each one of you, he has a plan. And if you will listen, he will train you how to be this overcomer. If you'll listen. But you know, I guess the reason he did tell, it was so hard for me is because it's just so hard to, as a man, you want to do your own thing. If you don't believe that, you know, you have not had much experience with men. That's just the way men are. I love working with men. You know, I love it when they do something or do something wrong, I can jump on their case and say, hey, you didn't do that right. I want you to do it this way. And they say, oh, okay, boss, I'm sorry. I didn't do it wrong. I'll do it your way. But I walk in, a girl's working for me, and she said something, and I said, well, I want you to do this. She goes to crying. I said, well, we don't allow you to cry around here, so shut up. And then they start crying again. You think there's not a difference between men and women? Let me tell you, there's a difference between men and women. And that's just the way they are, and that's the way God made them. But anyway, he was training me to be an overcomer. And the first experience I had was with that, speaking in my study over the scripture, which that's a good scripture for anybody to learn. Deuteronomy 6:4 and through about verse 10. Do what that says, and I guarantee you it will change your life forever. And then he wanted to show me what, to train me to listen to his voice. If I hadn't listened that day, Mary, I would have died. But I listened. And he was not in any hurry. He was going to make sure that things worked this thing. With God, timing is everything. He's not going to let you get hurt if it's not your time to go home. I can now understand why General Douglas MacArthur in World War II, why he never fell in a mud hole with his uniform on. He would stand up and bombs blowing up everywhere in the Philippines and Korea and everywhere else. Somebody says, General, hit the dirt. He said, I'm a man of destiny. And there ain't no bomb can hit me or hurt me until God's through with me.
Amen.
And he never hit the dirt. Walked right through the war. There's a man that knew who he was and knew who his God was.
Amen.
And if you know that, then you have no fear. You know he's in charge. When you really get a hold of the fact that God's in charge, and you're his son or daughter, and he ain't going to let nothing happen to you that he don't want to happen, he's going to take care of you. You'll get to where you don't have to, no sweat, no worries. But anyway, when you learn, and some people will, some people do not, at least some of them have to go through the training 3 or 4 or 5 times, and I know I've been through some of those myself too. So, but one thing about it, if you mess up on it, God will give you a chance to try it again. And eventually, but he will go. But you know, as you go through all these things and with God, and you see him train you how to be an overcomer. After I saw him do these things and save my life, I mean, that was startling to think about. I only took 2 steps after I stood up when that steel, a 20,000-pound stack of steel, the thing just crashed to the ground. And dust went everywhere, dirt went everywhere, and I pushed myself off, fell down on my hands and knees, but I was already in safety. It couldn't have hurt me in no way. I could have just stood there. If I'd have been a man of faith, I could have just stood there. It wouldn't have hurt me. I'm already in safety. God had already protected me. But I didn't know all this back in those days. I didn't know it. But then a little later, he's teaching me what faith is. 2 years later, I hadn't heard his voice. So, you know, here, 2 years, and then 2 years, here it again. So I guess I don't know whether I'm a slow learner or what or why, but anyway, he knows what he's doing. He knows how he's doing it. I was going home to see Mother and Dad one weekend, me and my family. We get down to Weatherford, or not Weatherford, but Granbury. Yeah. We get down to Granbury, and the car stopped running. And I coast off the side of the road there and pull under a lamp, and I get out, raise the hood, and take the gas line loose, and I had a little Toyota, and I took the gas line loose, and I told Betty to turn the starter over. She did, and no fuel came out. I said, shucks, here I am, Lord, in Granbury, Texas. It's 9 o'clock on Friday night. And I said, there's probably not a foreign car parts house open nowhere this side of Fort Worth. I said, what am I going to do? Now, you know, have you ever talked to God like that and asked him for something and really didn't expect him to hear you? I think we do that a whole lot. We ask, but we don't really expect him to answer. But he wants you to expect. So anyway, I said, well, Lord, what can I do? He said, son, just as clear as a bell, just like he's standing right there beside me. He said, son, didn't I say in my word that whatever you say with your mouth, if you believe it with your heart, you can have it? Did he say that?
Yes, he did.
Did he really say that?
He sure did.
Yeah, he really did say that. Mark 11:23. I said, yes, Lord. So this is what he did. Well, in other words, whatever you say with your mouth, if you believe with your heart, you can have it. So what do you want? If I did say that and you acknowledged I just said that, so, well, what do you want? Lord, I need enough gas to run this car 50 miles an hour until I get my wife and family home. Then tomorrow I'll put a fuel pump on it. I said, thank you, Lord, it's done. Now what do I have to do? Believe. So I shut the hood, go around, put the tools in the back, sat down under the ignition, reached over for the key. Betty said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going home. She said, I thought you said the fuel pump don't work. I said, it don't. But now then she's a really good wife. She keeps her mouth shut. You know, the people can't do that. You know the scripture today and says, study to show yourself how to be quiet. You know, there's sometimes you need to just listen. Have you ever been there when you just needed to listen? Yeah. So anyway, I looked at that, and I said that, and I reached in and put that key in, and I turned it, and it started. And, of course, she looked at me, and she didn't say a word, but she said, what is going on? She doesn't understand. She knows I just told her the fuel pump don't work, and I re-acknowledged that it don't work, but yet I'm cranked it up, and it started, and we're on the way home. So we get out there on the highway. We're driving along there, and, of course, I have my first encounter with the devil. The devil says, you know, that this is not going to work. This is not God. You know, this is just a fake thing. It's going to happen. This car's going to quit running. I said, no, it's going to run, and I'm going to go home. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I need enough gas for this car to run 50 miles an hour till I get my wife and children home, and tomorrow I'll put a new fuel pump on it. So anyway, we got out there on the highway, and I drove down the highway there and 35 miles an hour, which was the speed limit, till I got out the edge of town, and the speed limit went up to 55. Well, I pushed it down, and it would run 50. I drove along there for a little while at 50. I went up a hill at 50. I went down a hill at 50, and I on level ground at 50. And I thought, no, this don't make no sense at all, because it ought to run faster going downhill than it does going uphill, but it'll run 50 both ways. So I guess when you're a mechanic or whatever, that really kind of blows you away that nothing seems to be working like it's supposed to work. In other words, you're operating in supernatural law, God's law. And so as we get out on the road, I finally asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't understand this. I said, I don't understand why it'll run 50 going uphill and 50 going downhill, but it won't run faster. He said, son, I am a faith God. He said, you asked for enough gas to run 50, and that's what you get. exactly what you ask for in faith. You don't get enough to run 60 or 70. You ask for enough gas to run 50 miles an hour, and that's what you get. And so when I saw that, I thought, this is another principle of the kingdom. When I ask for something, I got to believe and ask to the nth degree. Whatever I want, he'll give it to me if I ask in faith.
Hallelujah.
Is that what he said?
Amen.
So if I ask him and say, Lord, I need you to fix this for me or fix this car for me and make it run 50 miles an hour, or if I just said, I need you to fix this car and make it run for me, he might not have fixed it because I didn't tell him how fast I wanted to run. You see what I mean? People don't get their healing sometimes because they don't ask him to do a certain thing. Lord, I thank you that this shaking and trembling in my hands has gone away.
Amen.
It's a done deal. I'm gonna see this thing go away. It's a done deal, and it's never gonna come back.
Amen.
I am healed. I'm paid for on the cross 2,000 years ago, so it's a done deal.
Hallelujah.
And I guarantee the day is coming when I ain't gonna have no shakes in my hands. It's done. It's over in Jesus' name. So as we go through all those three things so far, the training me is the different things that God's training me. Then the next one was the one we just already talked about Ed Brock, 42 years old. That was cancer. That was the first magnificent healing I ever saw in my life. But I saw Ed Brock get well. After I've seen what I've seen, now, this is the fourth magnificent event that God has done in my life, has allowed me to see these things happen. Now then, can you see where he's training me how to be an overcomer? But he's training you for something else. I mean, he wants every one of us to be an overcomer. But he's training you, and the way he'll train you will be different. But just remember that it's him doing it, and he's God. And he has no problem if you will only listen and do what he says. Now, I'm going to believe that the very first thing God's going to require of every one of you, especially you men that are in this room tonight, I believe he's talking to every one of you to read Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 10. This week, several times, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 10. And then whatever you read, after you read it about 10 times, believe what it says and then do what it says. If you will, I believe that you will be on your way to a second step in how to be a great overcomer. I believe he'll do that. Why do you think he spoke to me years ago and told me to do that one thing? Just so I could learn how to be an overcomer? No, so I could train you how to be an overcomer too. Does he want all of us in this room to be overcomers?
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does. He absolutely does. So I'm going to challenge each man, and I'll just say women too. It can't hurt you. One thing you can't overdose on, that's the Word of God. So if you girls, I'm going to challenge each one of y'all, men and women, this week to spend time with God in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 10, and see what he says, and then whatever he reveals to you out of that, do it, obey it, and see what God will do through your life. Okay?
Amen.
Okay, so praise the Lord. Prayer warriors, I need you all to stand up. These are the people you need a prayer answered. You need to go find one of these people. They'll pray for you, and we'll go from there. If you want to donate something to the ministry, there's a box over there on the wall. And if you want to do anything great this week for the kingdom of God, just spend some time with Jesus this week. You agree with that?
Amen.
If you need any of the CDs and DVDs, they're all free. Take as many as you want. That still seems to be the blessing that reaches out so many places. People that couldn't afford to get healed, when they found us, they found out there's no charge associated with it, and we don't charge nobody for nothing. And I still stand amazed at the men and women that are just in awe to think that we give away 10,000 CDs and DVDs every week and never charge them for nothing. So anyway, if you need to be prayed for, one of these couples will pray for you. They'll be happy to. Otherwise, you are dismissed and come back and see us next Sunday, okay?
You want to pray for the nation? About
okay. Let me ask. Let me. Let me. Let me. Let me let, I want Scott to pray, and I want Mike to pray. And any after these two boys pray for the nation, I want them to pray for the nation. They're going to have a vote tomorrow about who's going to be the Supreme Court judge, and we need a good one.
Amen.
So I'd like for these two boys to pray, and then if somebody else does want to pray, you can pray. Otherwise, we'll be dismissed. Okay, Mike, Scott.
Father, your word says, John 14:12-14, verily, verily, these things I do, you should do, and even greater things shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Father, we praise you and thank you. Just ask anything. So, Father, we're going to ask that you have a supernatural touch to our judge, our Supreme Court judges, that's going through a couple of challenges, that everything is straightened out and the truth be known. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, because you said we can ask for anything and you'll do it for us. We thank you and praise you, Lord, that it's done. In Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Daddy, we just praise you and thank you. We just ask that we be led by righteous men so that we will not be at war on our own soil, that we can keep peace in this nation and around the world. And we just pray for peace on our government. Daddy, we dispatch the angels to find favor in the eyes of those that are going to vote for Mr. Kavanaugh. We ask that righteousness prevail and that justice prevail and that any of this emotionalism be squashed by the Holy Spirit and the love of Jesus, and that reason will rule, and that emotionalism will be caught up and destroyed in its own mess. And we just thank you, Daddy, that we ask a blessing on the vote, and we just thank you. And we know that even if Mr. Kavanaugh doesn't get in, that there's even better behind him, that's even more godly and stronger backed. And we just thank you that you choose, Daddy, who goes in. And we just thank you that the midterm elections, that Christians get out and they vote, and that there is no lack of motivation if you've seen anything. And we just praise you that the angels go forth, that the Holy Spirit goes forth and motivates all the Christians to get out and vote and tend to help guide this nation into righteousness. And we just praise you and thank you. In the name above all names, our brother Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Daddy. It's done. Anybody else?
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Dismissed.
Lord, we know in the old days, Lord, we know, Lord, that you hardened Pharaoh's heart 15 times, Lord, over the children coming out of in the exodus of the Jewish people coming out of Egypt. And Lord, tonight, as I think about the people, Lord, that have hardened hearts, that have made it so hard on the different members of our Senate committee and the people of America by what they've said and what they've done, I just pray right now, Father, that you soften those hearts of all those people that have sinister and evil ways. Yes. And take authority right now over any and all evil spirits. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you go forth with all of the angels necessary, Lord, to touch each and every person so that nobody is going to take any kind of a grievous action against any of these people, that the truth will come out, and that these people will not take revenge in their hearts. And, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that we can know, Lord, that this man of God that is trying to get into to be one of our judges in the highest court in the land, we know he's qualified. We know he's been honest. But, Lord, other than that, we know that the one that's accusing him, Lord, has had problems. And, Lord, I pray for that woman as that 10-year-old child did of Judge Kavanaugh, because, Lord, we don't know the whole story in her life. We don't know how she could have been abused. through a family member, an uncle, a brother, or a father. We don't know, Lord, because there's so much of it going on in our nation, and we hear about it all the time. But I would have lift her up right now, Lord, and pray that, Lord, that she will recant anything that she's knowingly said that's not right, and so that this image that's being cast forth in our country can be changed, so that we can work together and bring this nation together. But it's going to take your power, Father God. Yes. We're doing all we can do, Lord. We're here today to pray about it. But, Lord, once we've done all we can do, then it's up to you, Lord, to do the rest. So we just thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit to go forth to carry out this mission that we've asked you to do. And we thank you, Lord, for the healing that's been going on in this service with me and others, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for all of the different prayers that have been answered, and we're just blessed, Lord, that we can be in here. And Thurman has done a good job, Lord, and I pray, Lord, today that the manifestation of his healing will start coming about, because, Lord, he has submitted himself to you. He's asked you, Lord, from the bottom of his heart to show him what he may have done, what sin he might have committed, what thing he could change in order for him to have his total healing. And I pray, Father God, that this breakthrough for him will take place this very hour, this day, as it was requested earlier, and we've all laid our hands on the piece of cloth, which is a point of contact. Let that point of contact this day represent the Holy Spirit of the Holy Spirit, Lord, whether it be a point of contact of healing oil, whether it be a point of contact with a cloth like Paul handed out, or whether it was like the woman that touched the hem of the garment when she touched Jesus. We just know it's a point of contact, and then we have to rely on you, Lord, because we know once we do our part, you can do yours. Now, we want to thank you and bless you, Father God, for answering all of our prayers and keeping us well. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Okay.
You're dismissed. Okay, yeah, you're dismissed. Praise the Lord.